كفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من خاف أدلج ومن أدلج بلغ المنزل. ألا إن سلعة الله غالية، ألا إن سلعة الله الجنة. وكما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة. وكما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the gift of Islam. This is the biggest ni'mah in the treasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to have the gift of Islam, is to recite La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. No gift, no ni'mah, no bounty is more greater than reciting La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. If a person, he has nothing to eat, nothing to dress with, no good means of transportation, no good way of life or living place or have a house, but this person leaves this world in a state that this person, whether male or female, leaves this world in a state that he or she says La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant this person Jannah at least 10 times bigger than this world. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For a person who leaves this world in a state of reciting and believing in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. On the other hand, if a person has the best means of transportation, best means of living, best food to eat, best dress to dress, but this person leaves this world in a state, he doesn't believe in La ilaha illallah. He doesn't believe in oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person does not live his or her life according to the wish and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person will be doomed forever and forever. That's what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in one hadith, La taghbitu fajiran bi ni'mati. إنك لا تدري ما هو لاق بعد موته إن له عند الله قاتلا لا يموت. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, don't envy the positions of a person who's disobedient to Allah. Don't envy their positions, because you don't know what Allah has kept for this sinner, for this disobedient. Allah has kept Jahannam for him, that Jahannam will be there forever for him. May Allah save all of us. We should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has given us the gift of Islam. The best thing Allah has given us is Islam. Nothing is better than this Islam. Even if we spend our whole life in sujood to thank Allah for making us Muslim, it is still not fulfilling that. That's what Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they valued Islam. When they became Muslims, when they accepted La ilaha illallah, no hardship was difficult for them. Nothing was difficult for them. They were not invincibles. They were not made of steel. They were normal human beings like me and you. But they understood La ilaha illallah. You see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his uncle Abu Talib, when he was passing away, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to his deathbed. While the leaders of Quraysh, they were also surround, they were in the same room where Abu Talib was on his deathbed. So at this point, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Abu Talib, oh my uncle, recite La ilaha illallah. His father, his uncle said, no, I can't. I cannot.
He said, recite La ilaha illallah so I'll become witness for you on the day of judgment. He said, no, I cannot. If I recite La ilaha illallah right now, then these leaders of Quraysh would say that Abu Talib recited La ilaha illallah because of fear of death. And I was because of cowardness, because I was coward, that's why I recited La ilaha, I was scared of death. That's why I cannot recite La ilaha illallah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turned towards these leaders of Quraysh and he said, oh, the leaders of Quraysh, I have a sentence. If you recite this sentence, all the Arabs will be subjugated to you, all the Arab tribes around Makkah, and all the non-Arabs will pay you jizya. So Abu Jahl, he stood up, said, oh Muhammad, you are telling us to recite one sentence like this? We will say 10 sentences. Tell us which one you want us to say. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, recite La ilaha illallah. When he said this, Abu Jahl, he sat down. He did not recite La ilaha illallah. Now Abu Jahl, it's not like he didn't know Arabic. He knew Arabic. He knew La ilaha illallah. He could even say out of trickery, okay, La ilaha illallah. He could have said like this also, just to put the Prophet ﷺ on the spot. But he did not. He knew that by me saying La ilaha illallah, I cannot live my life according to how I want to live. I have to live my life according to what Allah wants me to live in my life. That's Abu Jahl. He was known as Abu al-Hikam, the father of wisdom, because he had a lot of ilm. He had a lot of understanding. And that's what the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him, this Umar or Umar bin Hisham, Umar radiallahu anhu. He knew what does that sentence mean. We recited La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Most of us, not by choice, because we were born in Muslim families. We were raised in Muslim families. Some of the brothers, mashallah, may Allah accept them, they, mashallah, reverted back to Islam or came back to Islam or recited La ilaha illallah. This La ilaha illallah requires, there are conditions that we should live our life according to the demands of La ilaha illallah. Like one tabi'i was asked, is La ilaha illallah the key of Jannah? He said, yes, the key of Jannah. But you never find a key that has no teeth. There is always teeth with a key to differentiate one key from other key. So La ilaha illallah is the key for Jannah, but it has some shurut, some conditions. That we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in each and every situation. Wherever we live, in any condition, whether it's the occasion of happiness or whether it's the occasion of sadness, in all occasions, we must turn our attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should know who Allah is, who my creator is. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and me, all of us, some time period to know who Allah is, who is our Rabb, who is our creator. What does my creator want from me? You all know that in this world, if you create a cell phone, it comes with a booklet, how to operate cell phone. If you have a computer, how to operate a computer, has a booklet with that. If you have a car, it comes with car manual, how to operate this car. Similarly, the more expensive the machine, the bigger the book. And sometimes the machine is so expensive, it not only comes with a book, but comes with a professor also to explain it to you. Like if you have to do microbiology or cell biology, you have to do some of your experiments in electron microscope. I mean, it's like big stuff. It has instructors guiding the students what to do. Because if it's left to the student, they might damage the whole machine. So the more sophisticated the machine, the bigger the book, and also some professors. Human being is actually, there is no machine more sophisticated than human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only sent books for this human being, but Allah sent instructors, more or less 124,000 anbiya that came to this dunya to explain to mankind how to live your life. All these books that were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the scriptures, It is telling human being how to live your life. We live our life according to the deen that was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this Anbiya and the last Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one hadith. La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yakuna hawahu taba'an lima ji'tu bihi. None of you can become perfect mu'min or believer unless you subjugate your desires, your wants, your culture to the religion that I have brought. Which is the religion of Islam. The deen of Islam, it should be above everything else. This is some Sahaba. When they were in battlefield, like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's son, he said, Oh my father, twice you came under my sword, but I spared you because you're my father. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, if I had even one chance, I would not have spared you in that battle. One chance. This is, to them, the differentiation was Islam. Islam is above everything. We as Muslims, we should live our life according to Islam, according to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, we should have mercy for mankind. This deen is not just for you and me. We have to give this deen to all everyone else. That's our responsibility. Because our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last Nabi. There is no Nabi coming after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the day of judgment. His prophethood is till the day of judgment. We Muslims are responsible to spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give this deen to all those who don't have it. It's our job, our responsibility. We have to make every effort. Because this is the deen, the way of salvation. This is the way not only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you Jannah, but Allah will give you best in this dunya also. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Allah will give you the best life here also. That's why Sahaba, they are not known for skyscrapers. Sahaba, they are not known for bank balances. Sahaba are known for obedience of Allah. When they had nothing, they had everything. They had peace of mind. They had tranquility. They enjoyed dhikr of Allah more than me and you chit-chat. They were used to Quran. They were used to obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why we get tired, because we have not put ourselves in that situation. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given all of us time. All of us have time in this dunya. That we should come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make tawbah to Allah. We live our life according, if we live our life according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you should thank Allah. And at the same time, make an effort to spread this deen of Allah to others also. Because this is the time that Allah has given to you and me. We have been created for akhirah, not for this dunya. Our maqsad is to know who Allah is and what does my Allah want from me. So as a Muslim, this is what Allah wants from you. You practice the deen of Allah, number one, being a human being. And being ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have to spread the deen of Allah. This is two jobs we have. We practice the deen of Allah, make sure I should, because no kufr can come, you know, in your heart unless you allow it. Kufr might come to your streets, might enter your house, might force you, but kufr cannot come in your heart unless you allow it. That's why shaitan, people will blame shaitan on the day, you made us do this. Shaitan says, فَلَا تَلُمُونِي وَلُومُ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't blame me. Blame yourself. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadith Qudsi. يَا عِبَادِ إِنَّكُمْ. O my slave, your job is to do righteous deeds. إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ مُحْصِيهَا لَكُمْ ثُمَّ أُوَفِيكُمْ إِيَّاهَا فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. When you do good things, you say, Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah, because of your you give me the ability to do the right thing. But if you do wrong things, we don't blame anyone except ourselves. Kufr can never come in your heart unless you allow it. So as Muslim, we have to understand this. That we bring deen of Allah, we bring the right aqidah in our heart. We make an effort, our children should know who Allah is. Our children should know who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. Our family, immediate families. And at the same time, we make an effort. You see the conditions throughout the world that's happening? All the conditions that's good or bad that's happening right now, it is not happening because somebody's planning. It is happening, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. It is happening because of the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is two things. There is one is pleasure of Allah, one is mashiyat of Allah. One is that Allah is pleased with certain things. One is that nothing happens without the permission of Allah. Everything that is happening in the world, ma sha Allahu kan wa ma lam yasha lam yakun. Whatever is happening anywhere in the world, it's happening because Allah is allowing it to happen. If Allah wa ma lam yasha lam yakun, if Allah does not allow, no matter what the whole world do, they cannot do nothing. It happens with the will and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. But we know also that Allah ta'ala has created khair and shar. But Allah is not radi. Allah is not happy with shar. But it happens with His permission. فَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهُ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. You should know, don't think Allah is unaware of the oppression of the people. Allah is well aware. So the conditions everywhere in the world, we as Muslims look at ourselves. Inshallah, I'll finish in a few minutes. We look at ourselves, two things. Because there is no thermometer put anywhere in the country, you know, figure it out, what's the problem? What you do, look at yourself. A condition, whether good or bad, comes to you because of two reasons. Reason number one, if you're obedient to Allah, if you're 100% obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a musibah comes to you, a difficulty comes to you, it's not because Allah hates you. It's because Allah wants to elevate your status. Like the entire row of Salah fell down in Masjid Nabawi because they had no food to eat. Sahaba in Ghazwa Khandaq, they tied rocks to their stomach to balance themselves. The musibah they went through because Allah kept elevating their status. Now, if a problem comes to you and you're 100% obeying Allah, you are praying five times Salah, you are making your Hajj, you are taking Siyam, you are following the Sunnah of Rasulullah to the teeth, and a problem comes to you, you should know Allah is elevating your status. But if musibah come to you and you're not regular in your salah, you're not following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are messing up with awamir Allah, with the awamir of Allah, don't think Allah is testing you, elevating you. Why would you test a criminal? When a teacher takes a test in the class, he wants to know who's the best. Some of us say, oh, Allah is testing me. Allah is, how can Allah test you? You're disobeying Allah. A criminal is not tested, he's punished. If you're disobeying Allah and a musibah come to you, don't think Allah is testing you or elevating your status. No, Allah is spanking you so you can turn to Him, make tawbah to Allah. Lie. We have to understand this. So it's simple. Anyone of us sitting here or anywhere in the world, we look. Musibah came to me. Why? Look at your amal. Look at your actions. Are you obeying Allah? Is everything okay with you? It's very simple. You know, you will find out. You throw a rock like this. What do you think? Flour is going to come down? The rock is going to hit you back. If you throw flour is going to come down. You throw rock is going to come down. We have to understand the amal we send to Allah. Allah sends results according to that. So as Muslims, We should make tawbah to Allah, we come back to Allah. You see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born around 571. 4 years after that, he became Nabi. Then 10 years in Makkah, 13 years in Medina, 63 years. So by what, 633, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. And then came Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, 2 years. Umar radiallahu anhu, 10 years. Uthman, 12. Ali radiallahu anhu, 5 years. So if you put it all together, by 655, Islam had spread almost every two-thirds of the known world. And from that point, 655, till almost like 1750s, Islam was still a khilafat. Obviously, World War I, Khilafah was broken. But obviously, the waqar had gone down. But Islam was ruling everywhere. Same deen that me and you practice, they were following the same deen. In between, when people became disobedient to Allah, Allah sent Tatar for 2 centuries. They ruled the Muslims. 2 centuries. So right now, Kufr has ghalaba. And if you count their time, maybe from 1850, give them another 50 more years. 2 years Tatar rule, 200 years. Time changes. We should come back to deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Same deen that elevated us. Like Abu Bakr bin Jarrah was told. Abu Bakr bin Jarrah, when he told Umar radiallahu anhu, change your dress because you're meeting the leaders of Palestine. He said, أعزنا الله بالإسلام. The izzah that me and you we have got is because of Islam. If we leave Islam, Allah Ta'ala will disgrace us like before. Our izzah is in Islam. You bring Islam. Darkness is nothing. The absence of light makes darkness. قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ. Batil is there because we are not people of haq. We are not following the haq. We bring haq into our life. Allah will remove the darknesses. May Allah give us all understanding of this.